Thank you. Good morning, Gateway. Welcome to our morning service. This is a beautiful day to worship the Lord. We must rejoice, for this is a great day. Please stand if you are able as we start our service with the song Days of Elijah. Join us as we start our worship service.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, so we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Beholding clouds, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation come. These are the days of Ezekiel, dry bones becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wide in the womb. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation come. Who was and who is and who is to come? Who was and who is and who is to come? Who was and who is and who is to come?
Good morning, Gateway. And just in case you haven't had an opportunity, please greet those around and about you. Kim. Thank you, thank you. We'll be here the whole day. I've got to read this out, but you can't tell the person that I'm reading it about what's happening. Do you get it? Okay, so it's top secret. Top secret. Hey, Christine. Top secret. Okay. Right. This is from Cindy. Morning, everyone. We are planning a farewell tea for Karina's retirement at the end of March. We have tried to keep it a secret as far as possible, but I'm sure she knows something is going on. The tea will be on the 22nd of March at 2 p.m. That's a Saturday, here at the church. For catering purposes, please give your name to Christine Pass. Christine, if you can stand up. I don't think anybody knows you, so I just thought. Or Cindy Stolz. And we ask if people could bring a prepared plate of eats. We would like to give Karina a gift from the church and not individual gifts. If you are able, please give any donations to Christine or Cindy. We are still looking for a couple of hostesses to just set the table. So please indicate if you're available. Please give your names to Christine or to Cindy. And details will be given to each one. Looking forward to a lovely afternoon. Regards, Cindy. And then this morning, a little birdie has been very busy and has told me that this morning we have two birthdays. Casper, happy birthday. You've run away, Casper, haven't you? Oh, there we go. Happy birthday, Casper. I hope you enjoy a great day. And Kim, happy birthday. Enjoy a wonderful day as well.
Sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
May you both enjoy a wonderful day, and God's blessing. Just a few notices before we start. Firstly, just we have an evening service. It started up again, 6 p.m., and the emphasis this year is on Sunday evening equipping, and if you'd like more information, please speak to me. And then, did you get stuck at the bank again? Andre? Not this week.
The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. I don't know if you saw the match, Dricus du Plessis, you know. He gave this guy a broken nose. You know, you and I need to know Jesus has done all that for us. He, you know, in the ring he fought. He gave not only the devil a broken nose, but he knocked him out. Amen. And you and I walked in the arena and his hand wasn't lifted. Because he paid the price, he conquered. But our hands were lifted because we became more than conquerors. So this weekend I'm gonna help you to get rid of all your demons. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? For many of us, I call it the elephant in the room. And we're going to shine a little bit of light on the elephant. We're going to ask God to enable you. If I look at a lot of Christians, honestly, you know, in my service full-time for the Lord for many years, I've seen a lot of Christians. And not many of them are really walking. And they are not more than conquerors. It looks like they're barely surviving as Christians. And that to me is a shame. And I feel that I'm not going to stand guilty before the Lord one day. And the Lord says, you know what? You know what it means. And you had the understanding and the revelation of how to help people to become more than conquerors. So in this church, you're not going to say, Lord, I didn't know. Because this weekend, I'm going to tell you so. Amen. Bless you. Welcome. I'm going to stand there. And my beautiful wife, the best woman in the world, is going to stand on that side. You see, I'm trying to score points here. She's going to stand over there. I'm going to be there. If there's anybody here that just wants to know more information on the walking in victory, you talk to me. If you haven't got the money, it's fine. You come. All right. I don't want you to miss out. I don't want you to say to the Lord, yeah, but I didn't have 250 rand, you know. So you talk to me and you come. Amen. Bless you. Thanks.
Andre, I think you've scored a lot of brownie points there. Just want to tell you, we've got two discovery groups that have launched, but also if you need more information about discovery groups, Alan, can they come and speak to you? But we have discovery Bible groups that are running. We've just started with two new ones. Pastor Andre runs one on a Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock. I run one at 6:30. The Ceylon area. That's not Ceylon as in Sri Lanka, but yeah, in Kempton Park. And then, summer camp fundraiser report. I don't think you can read that, but The youth need to make about 54,000 rand, and they are sitting at 375 rand. Am I right there? And my eyes are good, eh? New glasses and all, eh? Yeah. And so they're at 0.7% of their goal. So if you could please support them by buying coffee. There will be some events that they'll be running through the year. But let's support our youth. We serve a wonderful Lord, don't we? We've had some wonderful rain these past few days. It's looking green. A bit humid today, but we thank God for His creation, for what He does. And this morning, let's just stand and let us worship God together.
Join us as we continue to sing praises to God. Lord, we just want to honor You and thank You for this time that we can gather as a community. You said, Lord, that if two or three are gathered in Your name, You are in the midst of them. So we know, Lord, that You are here in our presence. And we honor You through prayers, through songs, and through the love that are in our hearts. So, Father, accept our praises today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing The Lion and the Lamb.
He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save, here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. The sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Stop the Lord. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. Sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
Yes, Lord, every knee will bow before You. Today we bow before You and we ask, Lord, fill this church with Your presence, Holy Spirit. We welcome You. Come, Holy Spirit, move among us. Come, Holy Spirit, because You're like a living water flowing in us. Let's sing, Come, Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit, we ask the Lord to guide us, as we share your word to those who haven't heard of your gospel. Father, give us the courage to proclaim that you are the only way to heaven. Give us your Holy Spirit as we say to the world, only Jesus saves. Let's sing Oceans Where Feet May Fail.
above the waves. His soul will rest in your embrace.
As we sing this song, Gratitude, we just praise you for your goodness in our lives, for your protection and blessings of provision. So, Lord, we take this time to say thank you. No words can express how much we are grateful to what you have done on the cross of Calvary. So let's sing Gratitude.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? Sing this song as I often do. Every song must sing, and you never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. Thank you.
Father, your word is preached. I pray, Father, that you will hear our prayers and give us a heart that will be obedient to your word. We pray, Father God, for Pastor Wayne as he delivers your word. Give him the courage. Cover him with your spirit, Father God. Anoint him, Lord, that the words that we will hear from here, him, are from you, Father God. Cleanse our hearts from all unrighteousness, Lord, so that we will be worthy to receive the blessings from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Continue in prayer. Let's just bow our heads and continue in prayer. Almighty God, we just give you thanks and praise for who you are. Thank you, Almighty God, that you are a good God. Lord, we thank you that you are all that we need. We thank you, Lord, that this morning as we worship you, that we are reminded in the world in which we live today, that there is only one God, one King. And we thank you, Father, that there is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning, just fill our hearts with expectation as we come to your word. Lord, may we be encouraged today through your word in a world where it is very selfish. In a world where everyone is so opinionated and are not prepared to hear your opinion. And so, Lord, we just pray, be with our world, guide her and keep her. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to share from Matthew chapter 16. And reading from verses 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 16. And reading from verses 24 to 27. Let us hear the word of God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." May God bless to us the reading of his word. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? The word forfeit is defined in the Oxford Dictionary as follows. When you use it as a verb, It is to lose or be deprived of property or a right or privilege as a penalty for wrongdoing. As a noun, a fine or penalty for wrongdoing. As an adjective, lost or surrendered as a penalty for wrongdoing. Forfeit is losing or being deprived of or being penalized for a wrongdoing or surrendering something as a penalty for wrongdoing. Therefore, Jesus says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Consequently, in this verse, Jesus is saying that you are forfeiting your soul. You are losing or being deprived of or being penalized for a wrongdoing or surrendering your soul for a penalty for wrongdoing. He is saying to us, be careful. You live in a world of sin. Do not surrender your life to that sin, because if you surrender your life to that sin, if you forfeit your life to that sin, there is a penalty. And so putting worldly things before God deprives you of salvation and eternal life. Cecil John Rhodes. Anybody know that name? Cecil John Rhodes. Helped to carve out the politics and business of South Africa. He was wealthy, famous, and powerful. One evening, he happened to be in the company of Bramwell Booth, son of the founder of the Salvation Army. General Booth was in the next compartment of the train, and the son and Rhodes were together. Booth leaned over to Rhodes and asked, Mr. Rhodes, are you a happy man? The man seemed to be surrounded by depression and gloom. Rhodes gripped the arms of the seat and said, happy? I happy? No. Booth then told the powerful world figure that there was only one place to find real happiness. That it is down at the feet of a crucified Savior, because it is only there we can be freed from our sins. Yes, Rhodes said quietly, and then he added, I would give all I possess to believe what that old man in the next carriage believes. In a little country community, a farmer had a dog who spent part of his time sitting by the side of the highway waiting for big trucks. When the dog saw a large truck coming around the corner, he would get ready, and as it passed him, he would take out after it down the road, barking and doing his best to overtake it. One day, the farmer's neighbor said, Sam, do you think that hound of yours is ever going to catch a truck? Well, Bill, Sam replied, that isn't what worries me. What worries me is what he would do if he caught one. Many of us in life are like that hound. We give our lives to pursuing goals that would have little value if we succeed in reaching them. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Let's begin with what Jesus didn't mean in this verse. Many people, and I made the mistake over a number of years, interpreted the cross, to be taken up as some burden they must carry in their lives, a strained relationship, a thankless job, a physical illness, etc., etc. With self-pitying pride, they look at their difficulty and say, "That's my cross. I have to carry." Such an idea is not what Jesus meant when he said, "Take up your cross and follow me." When a person carried a cross in Jesus' day, no one thought of it as a persistent annoyance or a symbolic burden. To a person in the first century, the cross meant one thing and one thing only: death by crucifixion. Death by crucifixion. To carry a cross was to face the most painful and humiliating means of death human beings could develop. 2,000 years later, Christians view the cross as a cherished symbol of atonement, forgiveness, grace, and love. But in Jesus' day, the cross represented a torturous death. The Romans forced convicted criminals to carry their own crosses to the place of crucifixion. Bearing a cross meant one was about to die, and that one would face ridicule and disgrace along the way. Therefore, Jesus' command, "Take up your cross and follow me," is a call to self-abasement and self-sacrifice. One must be willing to die in order to follow Jesus. Dying to self is an absolute surrender to God. I presume if Jesus were here today, he would have said, "Take up your electric chair." Or he would have said, "Take up the hangman's noose." Or I think in some places in the world now they inject chemicals into people. And he would have said, "Take up your chemical." If we truly want to live in a relationship with Jesus, if we truly want to live in a relationship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we need to absolutely surrender to God. After Jesus commanded cross-bearing, he said, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Although the call to take up our cross is tough, the reward is matchless. Nothing in this world is worth passing up eternal life. Wherever Jesus went, he drew crowds. Their view of who the Messiah really was and what he would do was often distorted. They thought the Christ would immediately usher in the restored kingdom of God. They believed he would free them from the oppressive rule of the Roman occupiers. Some hoped he would continue to provide free lunches for everyone. Jesus' statement that following him requires taking up a cross made people think twice about their motivations and level of commitment. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, three people seemed willing to follow Jesus. When Jesus pressed them, however, their commitment was shown to be half-hearted at best. They failed to count the cost of following him. None were willing to take up their cross and crucify upon it their own interests. Jesus' apparent attempts to dissuade people from following him surely limited the number of false converts and insincere disciples. But God seeks true worshipers who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus' call, "Take up your cross and follow me," serves to screen out the disingenuous, double-minded, and dissembling. Are you ready to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Consider these questions. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your closest friends? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means alienation from your family? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your reputation? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your job? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your life? In some places of the world, these consequences are a reality. But notice the phrasing of the questions. Are you willing? Are you willing? Following Jesus doesn't necessarily mean all things will happen to you, but the disciple of Christ must be willing to suffer loss. Are you willing to take up your cross? If faced with the choice, Jesus or the comforts of this life, which will you choose? Commitment to Christ means taking up your cross daily, giving up your hopes, dreams, possessions, and even your very life, if need be, for the cause of Christ. Only if you willingly take up your cross may you be called his disciple. Luke 14, verse 27. The reward is worth the prize. Remember that as Jesus called his disciples to take up your cross and follow me, he too bore a cross. Our Lord led the way. You remember a few weeks ago, I told you it wasn't easy for him to take up his cross. He was petrified. He was scared. Can you remember him in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Lord, if you are willing, please remove this cup from me. But aren't you pleased? Aren't you happy that he decided to take up his cross? And so if he can take up his cross, let us take up our cross. An atheist was walking through the African savannah, admiring all the accidents that evolution had created. What majestic trees, what powerful rivers, what beautiful animals, he said to himself. As he was walking alongside the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. Turning to look, he saw a gigantic lion charging towards him. He ran away as fast as he could up the path. He looked over his shoulder and saw the lion was closing. Somehow he ran even faster, so scared that tears came to his eyes. He looked up again and the lion was even closer. His heart was pounding and he tried to run faster. He tripped and fell to the ground. He rolled over to pick himself up, but the lion was right over him, reaching for him with its left paw and raising its right to strike him. At that instant, the atheist cried, "Oh God, help me!" Time stopped. The lion froze. The savannah was silent. Even the river stopped moving. As a bright light shone upon the man, a voice came out of the sky. You deny my existence for all these years, teach others that I don't exist, and even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer? The atheist looked directly into the light and said, I would feel like a hypocrite to become a Christian after all these years. But perhaps you could make the lion a Christian. Very well, said the voice. The light went out. The river ran. The sounds of the savannah resumed. Then the lion dropped his right paw, brought both paws together, bowed his head, and spoke. Lord, for this food which I am about to receive, I am truly thankful. Finally, self-denial was a common enough idea in both the Jewish and Greek teaching of the day. Jesus, though, pictured a self-denial that included willing participation in the death of self. In short, nobody who follows Jesus can hold on to even the smallest bit of their own agenda, their own dreams, their own way of living in the world. They must sacrifice every ounce of self if they choose to walk after him. To deny yourself is not the giving up of things, but the giving up of yourself wholly and completely to the Lord Jesus. To deny yourself and take up your cross has nothing to do with daily burdens you carry or problems you may have to face. It is to live for Christ and to fully identify with every aspect of his rejection, shame, suffering, and death. But never forget that the suffering we bear for our Savior will one day lead to glory. Let us choose to live each day for Christ, knowing that since we have been crucified with Christ, let us remember those wonderful words in Galatians 2 verse 20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Amen. Let us pray. Mighty God, we praise and thank you for your faithfulness and goodness to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took up your cross and that you gave up yourself and that you followed the will of the Father. And I pray, Lord, that in each of our lives, as we seek to serve you, as we seek to draw closer to you, Lord, may we follow what our Savior has done for us. And may we take up our cross and follow you. Yes, Lord, we live in times today where we might be persecuted. We live in times today where people may say awful things. We live in times, Lord, where people are so self-focused that they do not seek the will of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Lord, may we know that when we take up our cross and follow you, Lord, that there is a wonderful, wonderful reward as we share in your glory. And Lord, may we know that we are children of God, and that we are heirs with Christ, that we are co-heirs with Christ, and that we are heirs of God. And so, Lord, may we not lose sight of that glorious reward which you offer us in Jesus Christ. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us take up the offering.
Let us pray for our offering. Father God, we come to your throne of grace, giving thanks for this privilege that we can give back a portion of what we have received from you. Father, I pray that you will bless these offerings, that it will be used wisely for the furtherance of your gospel through the ministries of this church. I pray, Father, for those who are facing financial challenges, for those who are looking for employment. Father God, I pray that you will increase their faith and that they will trust in you, that you will lead them to the right employment, and that, Father God, wherever you will lead them, they will show your love, mercy, and grace. So, Father, we commit these offerings to you, and we pray, Father, that you will pour out your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Cindy's going to just share something with us.
Morning, everybody. I just want to stand here this morning and thank God that I'm a child of God. I think a lot of you know that, or may not know, I was coming on Wednesday to prayer meeting and trying to get in the gate here at the church. As I got there, there was two cars in front of me waiting, and so I opened the gate for them. I was stopped. I had my seatbelt on and my indicator on. And as I looked up, I saw the car behind me was going so fast that there was no way he was going to miss me. So at that stage, I just went, oh no. And he hit me from the back. And he hit me so hard. If I didn't have my seatbelt on, I don't know that I would be here today. I could have gone through the windscreen, but I thank God that he had his hand on me. My car was bashed from the back, and I was very shaken because of my cochlea. It went flying, my head jerked, and I had whiplash, and my seatbelt that I had on hurt the shoulder where I had my operation. But other than that, I had nothing that had happened to me other than a very big fright. Alan happened to be here at the church at the time, and he was in the office, and somebody shouted for him to come. And he came and sorted the car out. They had to tow my car away on the back of a truck. And Karina helped me to get to the office and sort me out because I was very, very shaken. But as I thought afterwards about what had happened and thinking, I know God, I know I'm a child of God, it gave me such peace. And I just thank God for having his hand on me. On Thursday morning at Discovery Group, we had teaching on the Holy Spirit. And it was a very good teaching. But Friday morning, I was fast asleep and I woke up, but it was very early. So I thought, no, it's too early to get up. Just go back to sleep. And I remember my hands being clasped and hanging over the side of the bed. And I felt hands go around my hands. And I remember saying out loud, what's that? And the word, the Holy Spirit, just came as my comforter to tell me that he was there for me. And I thank God for it. And I thank God I'm here.
Thank you, Cindy. Praise God for that. I just had a thought while you were talking there, also just reminding the story about the line. And I want you to remember a prayer when life becomes difficult, and maybe in that rearview mirror you see something coming at you, be like the lion. Put your hands together and say, Lord, for what is about to happen to me, I know in Jesus' name it is defeated. And keep your hand upon me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us close with worship and our final song and prayer.
Please stay, join us as we sing our closing song. Oh, my mind is somewhere else. Oh, praise the name.
Forevermore.
Gracious Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we could share in this time. We thank you for your wonderful presence with us this morning through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that as we go into this new week, Lord, that you will guide, that you will bless us. And Lord, indeed, may we know that in Jesus we have the victory and that we will trust in that victory, Lord, for we know that you have defeated the works of the evil one. And Lord, may we trust you this week and may we go in your name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us. See you next Sunday. Have a blessed week, everyone. God loves you. Smile. And enjoy the tea and coffee. And if you need prayers, the elders are here to pray over you.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run. The fountain I drink from, oh, is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide. The ransom for my life, oh, is my song. You are good, good Lord. You are good. The fountain of